The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Today we listen to the speech of Hujjatul Islam Salim Yusuf Ali.
My topic is this concept of putting into practice what we know. The principle that we have, which we find in the traditions, in the ayat, is that when there's a gap between what we ought to know and what we do know, and second, when there's a gap between what we know and what we practice, then this is the problem that we have. You know, just think about it, brothers and sisters. Imagine if you knew exactly what you needed to know, and you put it into practice exactly the way you ought to be putting into practice, then what more do you want in life? They say that one of the greatest of the scholars in fairly recent times, not too long ago, Ayatollah Mirza Shirazi, the one who was famous for the tobacco fatwa, they say that, you know, he was an incredible scholar, very strong, very pure, very knowledgeable. They say that towards the end of his life, he had gotten some type of sickness and he went to the doctors. The doctors said that, okay, Hajaga, it seems that your time in this world is coming to an end. You only have a little bit of time left. So he starts to inform his loved ones and he says that, okay, you know, my time is near. Maybe it's a matter of months and I will be leaving you. Now, what do they go and they ask him? They say that, Hajaga, now that you're going, tell us what's going to change. What do you want to do now? Where are you going to go? Who are you going to see? How are you going to change things? He says that, I have been preparing for this moment from the very beginning. I'm not going to change a single thing. I've already found out what I need to know, and I'm putting into practice the best that I can do. Why do I have to change anything right now? I've already been preparing for that. This isn't any new news that I've gotten right now. But if I ask myself, brothers and sisters, and I say that if I were given that news, definitely 3 months, 1 month, 10 days, right, what would I run after? What kind of intense regrets would come upon me? What kind of tears would pour from my eyes? Tears of regret over time lost, over ignorance that I no longer have time to compensate for. So, brothers and sisters, one of the things we need to keep in mind is that it's not always such a, it's not so clear to us what's actually happening as to why we have this gap between what we do know and what we put into practice, and what we ought to know and what we do know. And so it's useful for us to examine, how does the Quran speak about this? How do the ahadith, how do they guide us? So a few points that we understand from these sources is, first of all, that there is oftentimes we do know something, but we lose touch with it. And when we lose touch with it, we stop practicing it. We see this so many times. Like, let's say, for example, a simple example, we learn how to do wudu in a correct manner. And then let's say a year passes and we haven't had a refresher about how to do wudu. And, you know, we suddenly hear a lecture and it's like, oh, you have to make sure, for example, to get the back of your elbow. You have to make sure to not get fresh water from the tap when you're doing the mas and so on and so forth. And then we're like, oh, you know, I've fallen into this type of bad habit, right? That's a simple example, but it can apply to so many things. You know, whether it be what we say, what we hear, what we do, the way we interact with people, it's not that we didn't know. We knew at one point, but that knowledge somehow it escaped from us. And this is why it's very important that we need to keep reminded, right? Those reminders are extremely necessary, weekly basis, at least. Another thing that sometimes happens is that we need to know something. We know that we need to know something, but because it's inconvenient for us, we don't go and find that thing out. We just don't want to take the effort. We just take the easy way out, which is to just say that, okay, We're just going to go by what we think we know is the right thing. And this is something that if we're not careful about, it can become a habit. There are these things, I'm just kind of fail. You know, we make a mistake. And instead of going back and picking ourselves up and saying that, okay, I'm sorry, I repent, I'm going back and fixing things, we get into a type of very terrible cycle of thinking negatively. That I failed once, now I'm doomed for failure. That's it. I can never get myself out of this. And that can lead to, you know, psychological effects, mentally depressive sort of depression we can get from this, where we just always think of ourselves that, okay, I'm a failure. All of these are condemned in hadith. We're told to look out for these. These are pitfalls for us. When we need to know something, we need to figure it out. Once we know it, we need to act upon it. One of the very powerful ahadith we have from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, he says, "Inna maadiya yawmika muntaqilun wa baqiyahu muttahamun faghtanim waqtaka bil amal." Very beautiful. Around this, on the same topic that we're speaking about, he says that whatever is passed from your day, it's gone. Right? That minute that just passed, you're not going to get it back again. Whatever is left of the day, it's muttaham. It's not clear whether it's coming or not. There's no guarantee that tomorrow is going to come for me and you. So what's left? فَغْتَنِمْ وَقْتَكَ بِالْعَمَلِ. Take action now. Take action. Right? When we come to find out about something, we get to that truth. And that truth is guided to us by our aql, by the sharia, by the true teachings, by taking advice from the people of truth and purity and the people of experience. When we get that, then we take action on it. And that's how, to go back to the initial thing, that's how we get more knowledge. That's how we climb the ladder. That's how we get to that elevated state. There was a man, and I'll end with this story. There was a man who once sends his wife to Fatima alayhi salam, and he has a question for her. He says to his wife, go to her and ask her that, are you and I considered one of her Shias? It's a very deep question, very important question. So the man goes, and the wife goes, she says, okay, my husband has a question for you. Are we considered one of your Shias? It seems that he understood that, you know, in this world, if you don't have the pleasure of Fatima alayhi salam, you don't have anything. So he asks her, so Fatima alayhi salam says that, very simple, if you follow our commands, and you stay away from our prohibitions, then you are considered among our Shia and you will be with us in Jannah. The wife takes the message back to the husband and the husband is saddened. He tells her, go back to her and ask her more. So she goes back and she says, oh Fatima, ya Zahra, that we are those who we love you, but what you said is very difficult. It's very hard. Now what do we do? And Fatima alayhi salam, the gist of what she tells her is that they are the elite Shias, those who are truly with us, and they are the ones who follow our commands and they stay away from our prohibitions. Yes, there are others who, inshallah, with mercy and with tawbah and whatnot, that, you know, they'll be in a good position with the love they have for the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, but those aren't our true Shias. They're not among the elite. Inshallah, we ask Allah Ta'ala, by the barakah of these majalis, that we can be considered among the elite of the Shia of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Kareemun Adi Ali. حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد صلي على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.